Welcome to Sideline Judgment. My name is Sergio, and today we are not joined by our good friend and co-host Tyler, but we have a very special guest here. Today we have Courtney Mims on the show, our college basketball guru, and currently working on the Florida Gators college football beat. Am I right, Courtney?
Oh, you're exactly right. So, but I'm excited to get to talk about basketball now. I really am, because it's been so long that I've had to be like football, and everyone still wants to know about football because the Gators are 6-1 right now and number 9. So yes. I mean, obviously we have to talk about football, but I'm very excited to get to preview Florida basketball because that is going to be really, really fun this season.
Yeah, so
really
I know college basketball is your first love, so it's always great to have people who really love it at the core of their spirit have on talk about those kind of topics. Courtney, I want to just jump right into it.
This is my true passion.
Of course.
Oh, yeah. Let's jump into it. Yeah.
I want to jump right into it. Florida basketball is what I'm going to be dubbing as a minor rebuild. And I feel that way simply because we have true leadership that has gone. We have Chris Chioza, one of our true leaders that has gone. Surprisingly, Igor, a graduate transfer from last year, was a big leadership presence on this team last year. He is also gone.
Huge key losses for the Gators. Huge key losses. And like you said, both actually have Chioza, obviously a leader for the team. Obviously that leadership is gone there. But Igor, a huge, huge point producer for the team, and a huge leader on the court as well. So again, you kind of lose two key leaders that you talked about right there. And I think it's really, we can talk about this more, but it's really a rebuild of the front court because I feel like they have a good backcourt and good wing right now, but the front court, that's the rebuilding area. And especially, like you said, we'll have to see how the leadership goes on this year's team, because I was never a huge fan of the Chioza leadership anyways. Okay. I thought he needed to be more of a leader in that point position. But I think he's a huge, huge, huge loss for the Gators. But having said that, I think we got a lot of amazing, talented players coming in.
Yeah, and I want to go into that because we have three brand new freshmen on the team. We have Andrew Nembhard, who is a freshman point guard who's looking to be that replacement for Chioza, and watching his highlights, I think we're in for some good magic this year. He's a 4-star point guard coming out of Mount Verde Academy, which we all know is one of those basketball factories in the country. We also have Keontae Johnson, a freshman shooting forward. 4-star.
It already looks like a D1 body, am I right?
Yeah,
like
exactly.
That guy is huge.
They're so enormous. These new freshmen, which is ridiculous. It's nice to see that Nembhard is a 6'4" point guard.
Yeah.
Because we're gonna get that. We're gonna get it. Basketball's moving in that way. I think ever since we saw Ben Simmons at LSU a few years ago, where he's like he was like a 6'8" point guard, we're seeing these larger point guards kind of, everything works in trends, and we're seeing things go back to those Magic Johnson type point guards. We're not seeing those Isaiah Thomases. Seeing those smaller the Allen Iversons, those kind of smaller point guards. We're going back to the big physical point guards.
I think there are a lot of things that you could talk about with it's a whole nother conversation that I really want to have at some point You can't really make an argument for which is better, because there's so many pros and cons to having a really tall point guard, and there's so many pros and cons to having a small point guard, or a smaller point guard. I shouldn't say small, because in no way am I calling 6'4" small, but small for basketball. And that's kind of there's the rub. You know, me and my dad talk about a lot when he's coaching, do you like having a smaller point guard rather than a larger point guard? And he prefers a smaller point guard because he thinks it allows quicker movement, quicker ball handling skills, things like that, where a larger point guard doesn't have this. But again, you can make the argument that they do. So, you know, that's a whole nother conversation.
Right. But that has to do with in terms of how basketball is moving, period. I mean, watching 2 nights ago, I was watching Rockets Lakers at LeBron's home debut. And the pace of that game was ridiculous. The way that basketball is moving is into the you basically just need quick, physical, 3-and-D wings that are versatile, because we're moving to a more positionless basketball type of type of way. So to see these larger point guards that can also move quickly is an interesting way to put it. So we got Nembhard. So we have Andrew Nembhard looking into there. We got two more players to talk about. Keontae Johnson, 6'6", 190, shooting forward out of Oak Hill Academy, another one of those basketball factories. And then we have Noah Locht.
Oh, huge.
Noah Locht is another shooting guard, 6'2", another four-star prospect coming out of Maryland. All three of these players are in the were in the top 20 in their respective position in last year's class. This is a small class of only three players, but if we're being honest, a lot of the attention in the past couple of years has been on Florida football and the coaching change and Dan Mullen. And Mike White quietly came in with three outstanding signings for this class.
And it's kind of really quickly, but like you said, Florida football with the whole thing with McElwain and the whole thing with Dan Mullen and the whole thing with is Florida football going to be good? We kind of glazed over the fact that, wow, Coach White did amazing things and is making moves. I mean, it's not only with this class, it's with the classes that are next year. And I mean, it's incredible that he's gone and said, and the thing that I really want to talk about with you, Serge, is that Mike White, his recruiting style is fabulous, absolutely fabulous. Completely agree. And what I mean by his recruiting style is fabulous is one of the things players have told me and players why they like Mike White the best is because he's not sending other people to go watch these players. He's going himself. Mm-hmm. He's sitting down in the arenas. He's watching these kids. He's going up to them after. It's kind of what Leonard Hamilton does too at FSU.
Mm-hmm. Has a great track record of recruiting. Outstanding.
I was just about to say that, who also has a great track record of recruiting, not saying that Mike White's copying him in any way, but saying that that's such a great, great way to pull great players is by going and showing you're interested as a coach, showing them that you care. And young kids who want to go to a college want to see, especially on basketball teams, it's very important in basketball, especially because it's a small team. They want to see that they fit in with your coaching style, the way you are, and the team as a whole. And by doing that, by going and showing you're interested at every single game, every single one, that shows that's going to be, you know, even to parents, even to moms and dads, that's going to be like, yeah, you know what? Who we saw every single game, Coach White.
Of course.
That's who we want to go. You
and know. That's the person that is actually going to care for their kid. People get that. Yeah. In football, the recruiting classes are so large. They're often 15 to 25 kids that you could get a few of them that slip through the cracks. But in basketball, your roster caps out at, 14, I think? I think it's 12 or 14.
Yeah, yeah.
So there's no, not only is there no room for error, but if you don't have that personal connection with the coach, you're not going to want to stay as often. And in an era where we are, it's basically of more player empowerment. We're seeing, I think everything drips down or goes up the ladder. And I think in this case, it's going to be dripping down in terms of individual players in the NBA are focused more on their own personal brand and their own personal development rather than as a whole team culture. So naturally, that's going to trickle down to the college game and to recruits coming in from high school and from AAU teams, where these players want to know that they're going to be taken care of personally and not just on the court. I guarantee you, Andrew Nembhard.
And that's exactly what I think why, and people have asked multiple times to. Sorry, people have asked him multiple times to me and other, you know, other reporters covering this. How is he doing this? Mm-hmm. And my answer every time is he makes each player feel like they matter
because they do to
Florida basketball
because
program.
They do to him.
And that, and I'm not saying they don't. I mean, I definitely think they do. And he creates that culture, which I think is a culture that Billy Donovan started. Mm-hmm. You know, that other amazing, you know, that these other coaches have started, and he's really taken on and been amazing at it. I mean, I can only give good accolades for what he's been doing, and only have heard good things about what he's doing. So we can only expect this to continue.
Right.
SEC didn't rate us high.
Right, and I'm gonna get to that point later on in our interview for sure. But before we move forward, I want to talk about this at the end, but I feel like it's the perfect time now. Let's go ahead and talk about next year's recruiting class while we're on the subject. This next year's recruiting class clearly highlighted by Scotty Lewis, the number two shooting forward in the country, a five star out of Rainey School in New Jersey, another one of those basketball powerhouses. this guy, I'm looking, I watched this tape, and he's not only a physical specimen, but his basketball IQ is up there. This is a player that could easily slide in at Duke, could easily slide in North Carolina, Kansas, Kentucky, at these quote unquote blue bloods and power schools and stuff.
Blue blood.
But
Yeah.
it's true. I mean, it's highlighted by him. We also have Trey Mann, the number 7 point guard in his
Oh.
class, 4 stars, another 6'4" point guard, a Florida
Yep.
native. Omar Payne coming out of Kissimmee, out of Mount Verde Academy, another one of those powerhouses, 6'9", 210, 4 star, the number 10 ranked center in the country. These players, it were
Yep.
I want to know if are we the last one and done that we had was Bradley Beal. And is
Oh.
Mike White thinking in terms of I want to keep these players for 2 to 3 to 4 years, or is Mike White thinking I'm going to go after the best players possible, give them as much as I can in this 1 year, and then try to send them on to the next level and basically not turn us into a one and done school, but incorporate some of those players into the culture? Because I've had this conversation with Tyler off the air. We haven't talked about it on the pod yet, and I've had this conversation with other friends
Yeah.
that part of what I like about Florida basketball is that we're not a strictly one and done school. We
Yep.
foster players, and we really get to see the development, because college basketball is basically has two sides to it. You have the one and done schools that are basically NBA factories, and
Yep.
then you have schools that kind of foster them and keep of that more traditional college basketball sense. I have no
Yeah.
problem marrying the two, but I feel
Yeah.
I don't know where we're gonna go. We're in this kind of gray area, especially with Mike White recruiting like this.
Yeah, I mean, well, to go on your point about being a one and done school and talking about merging as a coach, and I know this because again, my dad is one, my dad is a basketball coach, so you know this kind of mentality. You're never trying to recruit guys thinking they're going to be one and dones. Now, obviously, there are coaches that do have that mindset. Again, Kentucky, Kansas, as blue blood schools will go in to recruiting thinking, hey, we kind of have to think about the one and dones, like, because that's kind of our school. I think Florida is in a unique opportunity where they don't have to be one and dones. They really don't. And especially it gives a lot saying that Jalen Hudson came back this year that says we're not just a school that's going to put you out and put you in the NBA. We're going to let you come back. We're going to let you get more years of experience. If you we'll give it to you. We're not gonna, be mean to you or anything like that. We're gonna welcome you back. We're gonna say yes to 100%. Now, if some of these guys want to put their names in the NBA draft, if they're, if that's something that they're interested in doing, I am sure some of these guys will, especially some of these young guys. Andrew Nembhard could be I think he'll be the best point guard in the country. Truly. I think he can be that. I truly believe that. And I hope that happens because I've been telling people, I'm like, look, this guy is incredible. And I don't think people understand the talent that he has. And not only the talent that he has, how well spoken he is, how wonderful he would be in the NBA, like how wonderful of a person he is that he just has such an incredible talent that I think he definitely can get there. But having said that, I think Florida could start to see more one and dones with some of these incredible recruits just because of their talent level coming into Florida basketball. I mean, Trey Mann, I mean, oh my God, what a
That's the
talent.
player,
Oh.
that's the player specifically that I thought of when I mentioned that, because watching his
Yep.
highlights, watching his huddle tapes, and watching those, there's been a few. I look at teams in the NBA and I go, oh, they could use a point guard. Oh, they could use a point guard. Oh, they could use a point guard.
Yeah. Oh, 100%. And use a point guard like him too, that has a basketball IQ, that already has a basketball IQ that can be utilized. That all he would need is to work with the team and work with their select style. But other than that, he has the knowledge, he has the talent to do that. So I think when you talk about players like him, you are kind of, you're never thinking, oh, yes, I'm going to take him because he will be a one and done. But I think you are thinking, okay, he definitely has the talent. He definitely has the means to be a one and done. All right, let's pull him in. Let's see how long we can keep him. I think Florida has an amazing, amazing track record with talented players who could have been one and dones, but didn't, right? Or didn't ended up not going for a couple of years or, things like that. And I think, some of our guys that have ended up in the NBA, you know, Chandler Parsons is one of that comes to mind, where you saw a lot of talent there, but you never really, you were like, oh, he, you know, he's not going to go to the NBA, kind of things like that. And I think that's why Florida is in a great position, because they really create this culture where it's like, you can stay if you want to, you can get better, you can get your talent level up to the level that you will go to the NBA. And that's right. kind of where I think, with a case like Trey Mann, I don't know, we'll have to see. We'll have to see. Some of these other younger guys, I think Nembhard, you know, Locke and Johnson, all of those guys in this class right now could benefit from spending a couple of years with the team.
Right.
Could benefit working on their skills and working with a team like this. They're so young, but they're so talented. Mm-hmm. And so by working and making sure that they're the best they can be, they're going to have a better chance in the NBA, to be honest.
I completely agree. And I think it's important that we don't look too far ahead. You know, don't look too far ahead of the Trey Manns and Scotty Lewis. Let's bring it back to this year then. This year's roster. This year's roster, we mentioned at the top of the show, has a lot of new faces with our three freshmen, Noah Lark, Keontae Johnson, and Andrew Nembhard. But it also has some familiar faces. We also have the players that went with Coach White to SEC Media Days were Jalen Hudson and Kayvon Allen, both senior guards, leaders on this team. But also, we forget Kavarius Hayes is also a senior this year. And Keith Stone, a junior.
Kavarius Hayes actually went to SEC Media Days.
Oh, he did as well. Oh, I'm so sorry.
It was Kavarius and Jalen who went to Media Days. And I think they did that personally because Allen never really speaks
Allen
to anyone.
Allen is a,
Kayvon Allen. He's not a big speaker. So
he's what I imagine Kawhi Leonard was in college. I just want to play basketball.
100%.
Yeah.
100%. If you had to pick someone, an attitude of Kayvon Allen, it's definitely Kawhi Leonard.
Yeah, for sure, of course.
And the laugh too. I think he can do the laugh.
Oh man. All right, let's go back into this. I want to know what we can look for from this starting five. It's not a young team, but it's not an old team. We do have three new freshmen. But also at the same time, it's a lot of sophomores. It's a lot of Michael Carew is gonna finally going into his second year. Can these players develop? You know, we're looking at people like Dante Bassett. Yeah. We're looking at DeAndre Ballard. Those kind of players mixed in with that senior leadership and the young guys.
Yep.
How do you see this team gelling? What do you think our starting five is? Because last year, Mike White was very, very notorious for rotating that starting five. Can we solidify a starting five? Who's going to be that sixth man?
Yeah, there's going to be a definitely, like you said, I'm glad you brought it up because it was one of the first things I was going to say. Mike White seems very set on making sure everybody plays, really. Like he has a lot of talented guys, and I think he will sort of rotate it out. Who I think he'll start with, though, and who I think I've seen the most in practices from, Nembhard, Allen, Hudson, Stone, Hayes. That's who I think he will start with.
Allen, Hudson, Stone, Hayes. Okay.
That's who I think he'll start with. Again, it's my prediction based on what I have seen in practices that we've been able to, you know, go to and everything. And especially like little tidbits online we've been getting. That's who I think he'll start with. Mm-hmm. I think he seems that starting five seems to gel really well. Mm-hmm. I know people are going back and forth about Nembhard and Okoro being point. I definitely still think it's up in the air, but I think Nembhard is a 100% a better leader so far than Okoro is. I think he's already shown as a freshman, he's vocal. The guys love him. He is so, even on media days, right? Not SEC, but personally Florida media days. Nembhard was going around in the media talking about every single player. He did not spend a lot talking about himself. They tried to get him talking about himself. All he wanted to do was talk about other players and Chioza's legacy and like how much he's excited to hear some of the things he saw last year and what he wants to do with the team. He's already playing the leader. He's already playing that role.
I like
that. And that's something that I love seeing. I'm like, wow, you are already going in saying, here's what these guys can do. Here's what I can do to help them. And he's an amazing passer. Mm-hmm. I've never, probably the best passer in the SEC currently, and we haven't even
you
seen
are,
him.
You are very high. You are very high on Andrew Nembhard, which is fine. I am as well. It's just, this is why we have these conversations, because you've seen this team play, or at least in, you know, behind closed doors. You've seen what they can do.
At least very, very seldomly. Mm-hmm. But yes, very seldomly. And they do keep it very, like, when they do let media come into practice, it's very, like, they switch out everybody. So you see everybody play.
Right.
You see a lot of different starting fives. Mm-hmm. You make your own decisions based on what you
but
see.
It's
but
nice.
From what I see,
but
I love that.
Exactly. Yeah, it's nice to see that even amongst those situations, those simulated situations that the team gives us as media members, it's nice to see him stand out in those moments as well.
Oh, exactly. And it's nice to see also how different people gel. You wouldn't expect different people to work well together.
Like,
and then you see it on the court and you're going,
give us some examples, maybe?
Yeah. I was actually really surprised at Chase Johnson, honestly, and how I think he's going to be actually, if he gets more playing time this year, obviously he was hurt. So, you know, he last year he couldn't, you know, do that.
Right.
But, you know, this year I'm hoping to see a lot more of him on the court. Mm-hmm. I think he can produce some big points and really help when help. Not really. I'm guessing trying to say cohesive as a unit, but it was interesting to see him work with like Allen and Hudson, because I didn't think he would do well. Mm-hmm. And then I was like, oh, I'm actually very surprised that you're working with different players. And the cool thing as well about seeing some of the different guys is that seeing that they weren't one dimensional, like you said, the game of basketball is changing. You need to be able to play different positions. Mm-hmm. So we saw different people in different positions. That was kind of cool to see, you know?
Right. And you described that the ideal, what you think will be the starting five as Nembhard, Hudson, Allen, Stone, and Hayes. Jalen Hudson typically played the two guard. So is he moving to small forward?
Yeah. So he'll probably stay at a two guard, but Keith Stone might be small forward.
That
a lot of people, that was kind of the where I was thinking he would be. But but Allen actually played a few moments at point too, which was interesting.
That was part of an experiment that last year we saw a little bit in games.
Yes.
When Chioza kind of needed that rest.
Yeah.
But we realized it didn't work as well as we thought it would last year. Maybe in the off season there was some work put in, you know, maybe this year it kind of clicks.
And again, that's why it's so hard when you go to these media availabilities and these media practices. It's hard to kind of see, they keep it so under wraps with who these guys will be, because they play everyone in these positions. Mm-hmm. So I think at one point Jalen played point. And I was like,
that's not going to happen.
To happen, but I think they, you know, they show you in all different, they're like, we don't want you to know who we're doing as what. Mm-hmm. And then on media day with Florida, people had asked, who do you want to see at point? And he was like, it's a battle between Nembhard and Okoro. And that was when I said, no, Nembhard is going to be starting. Mm-hmm. Like, I just can't see where he's going to, unless there's something in practices that we're not seeing that I can't speak on,
right.
But I just see him. I see Nembhard as being a fantastic leader on the court. You know, has a little bit to get there in some basketball IQ, maybe. Still, I mean, very high, obviously, mm-hmm. very high. I'm not trying to say that's anything, but already taken on that leadership position, already knows how he can help, already knows his role, which is something that just is, you don't see a lot in freshmen.
Right.
And that is something that I think maturity level is just huge. I'm like, wow, you're a mature player. You know, that's just so incredible to see in a freshman, mm-hmm. Coming into the program.
I haven't seen this. I haven't heard this kind of hype coming from an incoming freshman since Casey Hill, if we're being honest.
Oh, 100%. But I think it's even more than Casey Hill.
Well, I mean, if he can shoot better than 60% from the free throw line, then we should be fine, right?
Okay. He definitely can do that. We're definitely going to be fine on that. It's going to be so interesting. I think I just kind of went on a tangent about things, but yeah, I think we are going to see, because, you know, and Mike White said it himself, we're going to see a lot from the freshmen. We have a lot of talent in those freshmen. What I love about this team is the bench, because I'm going to be honest, that starting five is going to be great. But if you need someone to come in, I don't even know if there's a true sixth man yet, because I think you're going to have a choice between a lot of different guys to come in and work on that court and produce points. I'm serious when I say this. I was upset with how the SEC ranked us, because yes. I think they don't understand how good this team will be. And I know it's a rebuilding year. I'm not saying that we're going to be first in everything. I'm not saying that we're going to be, you know, better than Kentucky or better than, you know, better than South Carolina. I think
so we have the preseason media poll for the SEC preseason. We come in at fifth, and ahead of us are Kentucky at one,
fifth.
Tennessee at two, Auburn at three, Mississippi State four. We clock in at five. And the team that you would think maybe would go up, you know, because of great coaching and you know, competitive South Carolina came in at 11, which is so really interesting.
That's what I completely didn't vote like the rest of the media. I did not think some of those teams would get higher than us. Kentucky, obviously, yes. Mm-hmm. Their team is going to be talented this season just because – last year it was kind of a floozy, but every year Kentucky, we could go on a tangent about Kentucky. Every year you're like, oh, they might not be good this year, and then they get a Final Four, you know, or you know, they get a nice postseason run,
exactly.
And you're like, oh, okay.
And then the opposite, Kentucky. And then the opposite when you say, oh, they're going to be outstanding this year, and then there's that one year where they didn't even make the tournament, which or they get like an 11 seed in the tournament or something, which is a down year for them.
Oh yeah, exactly. So I understand why they voted Kentucky first. I voted Kentucky first, so that's fine. But having teams like, yes, Tennessee has a lot of talented players right now.
And
a
they
lot
got
of talented
and they got
guys,
hot
a lot
at
of
the
talented
end of last
guys coming
season.
In too. They did. I just don't know if we should have been fifth. I put us at third or fourth. I really did. I thought we could do better than Mississippi State.
If I'm being honest, I see this kind of as Kentucky number one, and then I think teams like 2 through 7 could be flipped in there depending on your perspective. Yeah. Tennessee, Auburn, Mississippi State, Florida. I would throw South Carolina in there. I would definitely throw Alabama in there.
I would throw South Carolina in there.
I would throw Alabama as well.
Yeah,
they lost Colin Sexton, but I mean, Avery Bradley's been doing a great job coaching down in Tuscaloosa. So
yeah, I mean, I agree with you. I think you've got to give credit to some of those teams, especially I think South Carolina is definitely better than 11. I think
agreed.
Like you said, it is very interchangeable, and I don't know. I as a media member myself, and I know other media members were also like, really? Like, okay, that's kind
of
really
low. It was really low.
But I think you just can't. You cannot look at the preseason rankings this year. I just really think you can't, because I think it's going to totally be flipped. The SEC is going to throw everyone for a loop. We're a competitive conference, and I think we're definitely people are going to surprise. And I get it. They don't want to. And one of the people I talked to, actually one of the reporters from Auburn, actually, we had talked about why Florida was ranked number five, and they were like, the reason why I ranked them there, and they did put them, they voted for them being four or five. I forgot what they voted them as, but they said, the reason why I put them there is because you have some talented guys coming in, but you also lost some talented guys. And one of the big things is you lost two leaders, and who's going to fill those leadership spots? They're like, I don't know if Allen can. Hudson's a leader. Is Hayes a leader? Is Stone a leader? We don't know. Mm-hmm. So, and I get that. I get that from the media members that they don't want to put money in a basket that they're like, that doesn't seem right to us. You know, same with Florida football at the beginning of the year. I mean, you know, I would have never thought we were going to be, I don't know anyone who
if
thought
you told
we were
me,
be 6-1.
If you told me the Florida Georgia game was a top 10 matchup to determine the SEC East, I would have called you a liar.
I would have said the same thing to you, Sergio.
Yep.
So honestly, we cannot, you know, put a lot in these preseason rankings, especially agreed. I think we're going to see a lot of good stuff from the freshmen, and that's just my personal opinion. Now, wait, it could turn around at the beginning of the season. Who knows how they play up against SEC teams or preseason, how they do. Mm-hmm. I mean, Florida has a tough schedule.
Yeah, too. And I want to go into that schedule with you, where we have our conference schedule, which Our conference is it's not the ACC, it's not the Big 12, but it's a competitive conference, and any team can beat any other team any other night in this conference. But I think our out of conference schedule to start off is pretty important. We play a tough Florida State team in our first real game of the season.
Yes.
They came in at 17 in the preseason AP. They came out this morning. They came in at 17. The game is in Tallahassee. It's a Tuesday night. It's going to be a tough one. And then we also go to the Battle for Atlantis. Granted, we play Oklahoma, which post Trae Young, I don't think is going to be a big competition. But then we play, then we get either Stanford or Wisconsin, which are both credible teams.
Which are both,
exactly.
Both are going to be great teams. Same, you know, even Oklahoma, it's obviously it's not going to be a crazy, like, oh my gosh, this is going to be a great game. Mm-hmm. But it's going to be a good test. These are all great tests for the team.
Agreed.
Especially with some of these young guys in there. They're all going to be.
And we have the potential to play Virginia in that championship of that tournament. We could play Butler. Yes. But even if we don't play Butler then, we have Butler at home in December.
I know.
We have Michigan
State.
Which
is going to be a good game.
We have West Virginia. We play some good. We play Press Virginia on neutral site. We play Michigan State at home, which we all know Tom Izzo does not play. And we have Butler, a traditional basketball school, at home right before we kick off SEC.
And Butler's going to be good this year, too. So it's going to be an interesting, a difficult schedule, I would say, a hard schedule right off the bat, before you even touch SEC play, which we is competitive still, you know, which we all know can be a battle sometimes, you know? So I think it's really stressful, but that's why, again, if you're asking that reason for being ranked number five, that tough schedule starting off is another reason why I think people could say we're not as good as we should be, kind of thing. Because if they can't do it against some of these teams in the beginning, that's going to put us, you know, in a bad light for SEC play.
Right.
And it always does. It always, if you can't beat those beginning preseason, you know, not preseason, but, you know, non-conference games, you're not going to be looked at as a competitive team come January, February, when you start to get into SEC play.
Agreed.
And so it's a big deal to get those games right. And I think if they do, which I think they can win, I think they can be competitive and they can win. If you can get those right, you stand a really good chance of making a run in the tournament, is my opinion.
I completely agree. And that was going to be one of my final questions to you. Well, give me a prediction. How far do you think this team goes? What would you consider to be a successful season for Florida basketball?
Oh my gosh, those are so hard for me, because I always get really nervous about making a prediction and then it being totally wrong. But I don't want to predict too crazy. I think getting into the Elite Eight for them, and I think they can do it, like getting in, having another Elite Eight run, I think that would be an incredible feat for this team. And the reason why I say that, I think it's doable, and I think it would be amazing to get there, because I think they can do it. I think they have enough talent. They know how to do it. Mm-hmm. And I think they have great coaching. Mike White is a fantastic coach. We have seen that. And I think even last year, I think people didn't want to give them the benefit of the doubt, but even last year I was like, you know what? I thought that was a good season for them. I really did. And I think they can get to the Elite Eight again. I think that's where they'll end up this season. I think even if they get out at the, you know, round of 32 or whatever, maybe
second round.
I still think that's a good season. Second round. I still think that's a good season for them. And the reason being is because they have a lot of young talent. They have a lot of guys who we'll see play more or switch around, and we'll see how it works. And that's why I think if they can make it to the tournament and they get in and they can make a run in the tournament, whether it's two rounds, three rounds, four rounds, or in the final four, I think it's a fantastic season for them. I think they should have the tournament in mind, though. They should have the tournament in mind, because I think they can get there. And I think if they set their sights to it and they do work really hard, I think they can get there. I think that's be a really good season for them.
All right. I like that mentality, Courtney. I like where our heads are at. I think these non-conference games in the beginning of the season will be a great test, like you said. We have West Virginia and Michigan State back to back, and then we have Butler after Christmas, December 29th. So luckily, two of those games are in Gainesville at home. West Virginia will be in New York City for the Jimmy V Classic. And then we also play TCU in the Big 12 SEC Challenge in Fort Worth.
Which is going to be good, too.
Which will be a good game as well. I agree.
Yeah. All of those non-conference games. I mean, man, Mike White just really was like, yep, let's do it.
I love it. And I love it. I think you gotta play the best to beat the best. And scheduling teams like West Virginia, who play a specific style, Michigan State, a perennial basketball school, Butler, a perennial basketball school.
Yep.
It's important for that. Yep. It's important.
It is almost saying we can do it. Like, don't think that, you know, we're to cut out or cut out the running because we're going to go up against you. And I think they're going to be competitive. I really do. I really think that all the inconsistency and stuff from last year, I hope it goes away. And I hope this team really gets it together so that this year they can be as competitive as I think they will. Mm-hmm. So
you can catch Florida basketball in their first game, October 30th. That is in about a week from now, since we'll be publishing this next in the coming days. We are playing Florida Southern in an exhibition. And the first meaningful game of the season will be November 6th, Tuesday night, 9 p.m. on ESPN2. Florida travels up to Tallahassee to play the Florida State Seminoles in a competitive matchup against a top 25 Florida State team. Courtney, thank you so much for coming on the show. Thank you so much.
Yeah, well, thank you, sir. I'm always happy to, you know, talk about basketball with you guys.
Of course. We'll be sure to bring you back on. Could you want to go ahead and plug anything that you want anyone to – where can we follow you on Twitter? Where can we listen to you? Where can we read you? What can we do?
Yeah. So, I mean, if you're okay with following some Florida football stuff until basketball season really gets underway, you can follow me at Mims Courtney. I'll be giving you all your updates on all Florida sports, to be honest with you, because we have some very talented teams this year, and it's going to be really exciting to cover them. And especially, let's hope we get to a bowl game, guys.
If we win this Saturday, I think we're bowl eligible now, right? We're already bowl eligible?
Yeah, I think we're bowl eligible, but they have us predicted in some weird bowls, and I was like, no. We need a good one. I want Fiesta Bowl or something.
I want a New Year's Six Bowl. That's my goal.
Yes.
That's my goal.
Yes.
New Year's Six Bowl.
Yeah. If we can get a good bowl game, I'm happy. I
kind of want UCF to continually go, like, to continue to go undefeated and then play them in the Peach Bowl. I kind of want that.
They had us. A couple of different people had us playing UCF in a couple of different bowls. So I'm like, all right, we'll see you guys there.
It could happen.
We'll see you guys there.
Thank you so much for coming on the show, Court. Thank you so much for coming on the show, Courtney.
Thank you so much.
This has been another episode of Sideline Judgment. Tyler's not here with us, but we had a wonderful replacement in Courtney. Thank you so much for listening, guys. And we are not biased, but Courtney, give us a go Gators.
Go Gators.